Hey there, Michael.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you? Welcome back to civilization.
Well, thank you very much. We should probably explain. I was enjoying a vacation in my hometown of New Orleans, visiting family, and it just happened, by coincidence, to coincide with Mardi Gras.
What are the chances?
It's kind of funny when you actually plan it that way and it turns out that way.
But, well, exactly the way you planned.
it does happen from time to time. And along the way, I got to stop in Memphis for a brief bit.
Oh, yes.
Actually, stopped in Memphis both ways. But I've got a story to tell about both. But the first one, just real quick, is had lunch at Central Barbecue, which was excellent, with Mr. Stephen Hackett.
Said that this is a place that I need to visit, Central Barbecue.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I guess it's not that far away from his work and such. It's like a regular kind of lunch spot for him. And
cool.
So highly recommend it. The pulled pork sandwich with the coleslaw is what I did, and some sweet tea. Just, you know, a little recommendation there.
Cool.
Yeah. And Stephen is, you know, just a completely – he is everything that you hear, you know, I mean – everything he seems like on podcasts and everywhere else. He's just an extremely nice guy, an extremely grounded guy, you know, super sweet and just kind of laid back. You know, he's got that laid back Memphis Southern
style. He's got that southernness to him,
especially
in his voice.
Yeah, like he's always on a porch in a rocking chair sipping on sweet tea.
It's like he's so laid back, he's horizontal.
Exactly. Lovely. So this trip afforded me all sorts of wonderful insight because I got to be stuck in the car, and I say stuck in a good way, with really the most brilliant person I know, which is my wife.
Yeah, you had some, like, it's crazy that you're away and you have probably one of the more successful periods. For the site, you were fireballed a couple of times, both over the same post, though, right?
Yes. Yeah,
which was about your wife's excellent observations on Microsoft.
Yeah,
now, we were
going
to talk about one of your posts. Now, I don't know if you maybe want to tackle both of these.
Oh, we can
tackle
both.
Two separate episodes. How does that sound? So we do one episode on talking about Microsoft, if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
And then another about talking about TV.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So give, for anybody that hasn't read it or for anyone that does, because it would have been like a week and a bit since people would maybe have read the post.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us like a brief summary of the Microsoft piece?
Yeah. Okay. So basically what it was this. My wife and I, you know, driving somewhere in the middle of we were somewhere in the middle of Missouri when she came upon this we came upon this discussion. And, you know, when you're in the car with somebody for a long period of time, you talk about all sorts of things. And I'm one of those few lucky individuals who's married to not only someone extremely smart, but also she doesn't mind talking about tech stuff from time to time, especially the business side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was discussing the iPad and how Microsoft as a software company really missed a big opportunity with the iPad and with the iPhone and has consistently been missing this opportunity. Basically that they could be building versions of Office for iPad, especially when you consider how Microsoft's Macintosh division is organized.
Kind of separate, right? Is that right?
What?
They're kind of, the Macintosh unit is kind of separate from the rest of Microsoft.
Yes. Yes, that is accurate to say that the Macintosh business unit which produces Office for Mac and, you know, all of their Mac software. And their iOS software. We have to remember that they do have
a couple of apps, don't they?
Right. They've got a OneNote app for iOS. Those are produced out of the Macintosh business unit of Microsoft, which is based in Mountain View, California.
Anybody who remembers old Apple keynotes, I think there's a woman called, I can't believe if this is right from my memory, Rosalina something or other.
Is it not Roz Ho?
That's it. That's it. Roz Ho. Yeah, mm-hmm. she was one of the speakers when Apple used to have a lot more speakers at keynotes.
Well, when they had a lot more, like, we're going to invite this very important person from this very important company.
When they weren't the most important company, right?
Right. It operates as a wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Office team for the Office for Mac team has such autonomy from the standard Office team that about the only code that is shared between the two products, or at least this used to be the case. It used to be the case. I don't know if this is still the case. All this information I'm operating on is at least 8 to 10 years old, so please forgive it if it's wrong. But it used to be the case that about the only code that was shared between the two versions of Office was the document code, right? Was the document encoding code that make, you know,
Microsoft Docs,
Doc and DocX and stuff like that. But that everything else written from the ground up, that, you know, Microsoft Office for Mac was a Mac application. It was a purely Mac application. It was written from the ground up for Mac. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
By Mac guys. That's the thing that I think is really important here, right? Is that Mac business unit in Microsoft, they're all Mac guys. These are people who are hardcore Apple fans, right? These are not like, you know, oh, we got these PC engineers and threw them into this place to make Cocoa apps. You know, no, these are Mac guys, right? So with all of that said, it just didn't make sense to me. It still doesn't make sense to me, honestly, that that a software company such as Microsoft, remember, their primary business is in software. It's in their name, right? Didn't see the tremendous software opportunity here to do Office for iPad. Now, there's rumors and speculation about, oh, they're doing it and it's going to be coming out very soon. And, oh, there's going to be some announcement in March. The fact is, right now, as it stands today, as I'm recording this, it doesn't exist and has not existed up until this point.
And even if, I mean, because when this is released next week, mm-hmm. or it will be the keynote, so on March the 7th, even if they bring out an all singing, all dancing iPad application on March the 7th, it's still been 2 years.
With nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
And 4 years, 5 years with nothing on the iPhone. Because nothing. Why can't you have Docs, even like a Microsoft Office Viewer?
Right.
They don't even have that. And then you've got applications like Office to Go and stuff like that.
Quick Office.
Absolutely mm-hmm. eating their lunch. Mm-hmm. Because even I own Office to Go.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I might receive a contract or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, I mean, I never, ever would even dream about using Microsoft Office. It's not... you know, I only have it for if I get something I need to send. All I need is effectively a viewer, right? I'm never going to make a Word document.
Right.
But you can't really exist in the business world without at least being able to view these documents.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you can view them, right? If someone sends you a Word attachment, even without your Docs to Go or whatever on your iPhone, guess what? Being able to view it is built in.
Yeah, let me just, so like, and then make, so like if it's a contract or whatever, at least sign my name kind of deal.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you may not be able to edit it, but I mean,
but you can view it sort of without formatting and stuff in mail.
Right. Well, but I, you know, the whole bottom line of the point was that, you know, Microsoft isn't there. They haven't been there. It's a tremendous missed opportunity. And they could have been making their fantastic Windows Metro UI tablet, blah, 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 blah stuff, while at the same time making millions of dollars off of Office for iPad, right? Especially with the way that the iPad is exploding in enterprise. And that's kind of, I think, a maybe not necessarily an untold story, but a story that I don't hear as often is that, you know, I know of businesses that are buying thousands of iPads and giving them out to their employees, right? You know, it's like, you know, at a time. Right. Like, you know, like, you know, oh, you know, it's, you know, it's February 27th. I guess it's time to buy 3,000 more iPads, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is this just a case of Microsoft making a really bad decision that they thought that iOS wasn't going to be big enough?
And then
they just didn't tool up. And now they've been working on this for a year or whatever, or a couple of years.
All right. I want to come back to that question.
Okay.
All right. Because I want to get to the meat of the post. The meat of the post was this. So I go on, I spew all of this stuff about my feelings and this, that, and the other to Bethany. And Bethany, as usual, is kind of politely going, that's really a missed opportunity. And then she goes, but you know what? Here's a bigger missed opportunity. And then she lays out the idea, for those that have not read the post, that I think is just one of the most insightful, brilliant things I've ever heard about this subject, and one that I had not seen really talked about elsewhere. And that is this. Microsoft had spent years convincing people that they needed Office to get real work done. Real work in air quotes, by the way. That it was the standard, and that if you wanted to be taken seriously whatsoever in the office world, and in the business world, that you needed to be, you know, using Microsoft Office. People really believed this, right? It was kind of like, businesses, when they went to purchase new PCs, they didn't even think, like, Office was part of the purchase price, right? That's kind of when they came down. Okay, this is what we're buying. Office was always included. And all of my clients, almost without fail, had to have Office, right? Is something, no, I got to have Office, have to have Office. Well, what if someone, you know, sends me a Word attachment? Oh, well, you can open that up with this, that, and the other, and Pages, and that, and you have lots of options there. But no, what about Office? No, I can show you how you can get around without using Office. No, I have to have Office.
Okay. Aren't you the IT guy? What's wrong with you? Why don't you understand I need Office?
Yeah, exactly. And, they had really done a very good job of convincing the world that Office was required.
Mm-hmm.
And then people got iPhones. And there was no Office. And they still got stuff done. And then there was the iPad. And there was no Office for iPad.
They got even more done.
They still got stuff done. Right. They got even more done, right? And Microsoft's biggest miss is that they allowed people to see the lie. And the lie was that in order to get stuff done, you needed Office. And that in fact, was their biggest miss. That by not having Office for iPad, they revealed the wizard behind the curtain to find the truth, which was there was no wizard and the curtain was a sham. And I thought she's exactly right. She's
maybe,
exactly right.
Maybe we need the other half of the Rome family to be writing Minimal Mac now, right?
Well, I have actually thought about maybe what I need to do is once a month pile her and Beatrix in the car and drive
around until she gets
you
fireballed again. We're not leaving this car until Gruber enjoys a post.
So I have at least two unbelievably great posts. That's right. So I want to come back around to the question we started before I, you know, got into the meat of the post, mm-hmm. which I'll link to in the show notes for those who haven't seen it. But the meat of the getting back around to that, I had a couple of people email me, and unfortunately, I do not remember exactly who or their names. I'm not going to bother to look it up. It's just not important. The ideas are what's important. I got several emails after that post of people kind of not only, you know, thanking me and, you know, but wanting to discuss it further.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of observations that struck me. Further observations. One being this. One spoke to your point, which is, if we remember when the iPhone first came out, Steve Ballmer basically writing it off and laughing at it.
Yeah.
Right? And when the iPad came out, Steve Ballmer basically writing it off and laughing at it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and one wonders if, like you said, they just didn't see these things going anywhere and didn't take them seriously and therefore didn't see any sense in getting into that space with the product. Unfortunately, I can believe that.
Yeah, you kind of wish that, that they weren't, that they didn't think that, that they weren't so up themselves. That
Yeah. But just even seeing, you know, Ballmer's public statements on it, it makes it really difficult not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something else that I also think could possibly be true based upon that. Another observation that someone brought up, and that is, by not doing Office for the iPad, maybe they thought they were punishing the iPad.
Huh. Yeah, like they were holding it back. Because,
like they were holding it back. Like they were going to...
This could never reach its full potential.
Potential because it didn't... they believe so strongly that Office... They believe their own lie so strongly that they believed that no one would buy it, or no real serious businesses would buy this thing without Office.
And in some sort of twisted way, they should believe that. They should feel like that. Like,
well,
if a company believes in their product so strongly, they should be blinded.
Well, but even more than that, they should have believed that because guess what? They had 20 years of evidence to support that, right?
Right, 30
years
yes.
of evidence to support that, right? I mean, seriously, I can't think of a, you know, I've been involved in a number of companies and a number of businesses and have seen it from all sides, including a build-to-order PC manufacturer. And I can tell you that 80% of those machines, even back in the 486 and, you know, Pentium 1 days, shipped with Microsoft Office. Like, that was part of the order. Like, people purchased the computer and purchased Office at the same time, pre-installed on the machine, out the door. And
before,
wouldn't even think of buying it any other way.
Before the iPhone, what device that you could do work on did not have Office available to it? I mean, even BlackBerry, right. You know, you can get Office on BlackBerry, and
yeah.
You believe you could get Office on Palm, right?
Actually, Palm didn't have a version of Office. Palm relied on things like Docs2Go.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of deal.
And QuickOffice, yeah. Both those programs have their roots on the Palm Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, pretty much it, is that real computers had Office. And that anything without Office couldn't possibly be a real computer. And not only did they convince the world of this, they made the mistake of convincing themselves of this.
Yep. It's like they were waiting for Apple to come knocking on their door, right? To say,
mm-hmm.
we need to make this thing a success. Please bring Office.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, unfortunately, I can completely agree with both of those theories, despite the fact that, you know, they were both wholly incorrect and, you know, did nothing to stop the onslaught that happened and revealed Microsoft's biggest chink in the armor, which was people don't need Office. You don't need Microsoft Office to get real work done.
So I'm not sure if this is in your post, but I have seen this recently, that Office is their biggest moneymaker.
Oh, yeah.
Which really surprised me that Windows wasn't, because I just assumed, you know, because, okay, you Office doesn't necessarily come pre-installed on every PC. No. But Windows does.
Right, but...
You know, so I would have just thought that the licensing fees for every personal computer in the land, in the world, you know, for the average consumer and business, I just thought that would have been larger. But
no.
Mm-mm. I guess Office is on so many of them.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind these things. Number one, Windows is essentially a razor. Mm-hmm. Office is the razor blade.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right? They give away Windows. People don't purchase Windows in general, for the most part. You know, 95, 99, whatever it is, percent of people out there did not go out and buy a copy of Windows and install it on a bare PC.
Mm-hmm.
It came with their computer. It was part of the price, and they didn't even think twice about whether or not the computer would or would not come with Windows. They went out and bought a PC and knew, oh, it's going to have Windows on it, and didn't, you know, it's part of the purchase price. And while Microsoft may make a licensing cut on the purchase of said PC, also keep in mind that most people buy a PC and then use it until it chokes or dies. Right? And so, I mean, how many PCs are out there still running Windows 95?
Too many.
Way too many, right? Tons. I mean, I can't remember what it was, but like, I think I saw some statistics several years ago now. It would have been probably about 5 years back, but even 5 years back, just highly surprising. The number of machines still running Windows 95 out in the wild, you know, out of all PCs out in the wild, the number was something like 40% or something like that. It's like some outrageous number, like, at least a third of all PCs were still running this operating system that was three generations old, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, just crazy. But, I mean, that's the thing, right, is that people buy this stuff and then they, and then they just use it until they run it into the ground. And so, yeah, whereas with Office, Office, one of the reasons why Office was a big moneymaker is because, not from the one-off people here and there that bought it as part of their computer or whatever, but from the businesses that had, we want to license, for our business 5,000 copies of Microsoft Office and have a, along with a upgrade and maintenance contract so that, every new version we're getting, we're buying that too up front, Yeah, just a tremendous cash cow for Microsoft. It's their biggest cash cow. It's their most money-making product. And that's another reason why it is just so highly surprising that they... Like, if they were smart, if they were business smart, they would deploy a strategy of Office everywhere. Right? Allow Office... Make a version for anything that comes along. And charge handily for it. Now that you've convinced people that they need it, make it for iPad as soon as the iPad comes out. Make it for Android as soon as Android can. Make it for this, make it for that, make it for the other thing. And you can still continue to make your Metro tablet, Windows 8, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
yada, yada. It's not stopping you from doing that. Make money off of all these guys while you're doing that. Hey, take the profits from all these guys that are, they're buying Office for their device and fund this project to make the thing that kills their device with it. No matter which way you look at this from a business standpoint, it is yet another example and another reason why Steve Ballmer still being in charge of Microsoft is the most outlandish thing I've ever seen at any company. This guy should have been run out by the shareholders years ago because he has yet to show that he can make a business decision that has any forward thinking to it whatsoever. Just crazy to me. You know, and
how is he still running the company?
I have no idea. And it's just amazing to me.
Maybe he has like bad pictures of all the board members.
He's blackmailing him.
It doesn't even make sense to me why he's still doing it. The guy must have so much money. Like, you know, go do something else. Just go do something else. Like, look what Bill Gates did, right? Or just go fill up a room with $1 bills and swim around in it all day. Like, just go do something. You know, start a new company, whatever. Yeah. But it just seems peculiar to me, like, because he doesn't strike me as a man of great vision. He may well be.
He's got zero vision.
You know,
as far as his track record and everything that he's shown, he has zero vision. He is completely stuck in the present or the past. He has no vision.
The only thing I can think of is that he wants to stick around until he has that big hit under the Bulma regime. That's what he's waiting for, you know? He needs a legacy. So he'll just keep driving things into the ground until he gets that.
Right.
I mean, Gates has so much, and Bulma in his time, he hasn't got anything.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is that... And the thing I think I want people to understand most, especially those who have read that post, and that is I have tremendous respect for Microsoft as a company. Mm-hmm. I really do. I may disagree with their tactics. I may disagree with, you know, the way that they've handled business. I mean, disagree with a lot of things, but quite frankly, they are one of the great companies of all time, right? No one can deny that. No one can take away their success as a company. And talking about it, and I think it's incredibly admirable what they were able to achieve in the time that they were able to achieve it, and some of the things that they've done have just been remarkable. Furthermore, they have all of the talent and pieces in place to be able to continue to innovate and do remarkable things. Some of the most groundbreaking research in technology comes out of Microsoft Research, right? Some of the most interesting and compelling technology available in the marketplace today actually comes out of their Xbox division, right? I mean, there's especially in the realm of graphics technology and the Kinect, which I've talked about before, right? I mean, they're doing highly interesting and innovative things, but they have an executive at the top and others within the organization that do everything they possibly can to limit and squelch that innovation for reasons that are unbeknownst to me and make zero sense whatsoever to me, right? Even either from a business standpoint or from a strategy standpoint. Right? I mean, even the things that Apple does that make zero sense to me, I understand at least from a strategy standpoint. I'll give you one example. Lion Server, right? I've mentioned this before, discussed this a little bit before, but I'll mention it again. Basically, between 10.6 server and 10.7 server, Apple depreciated and just whole out removed a number of important features that should be included in any server OS, have no plans to add them back, just basically depreciated them with no real further explanation. Now, the off-the-record explanation you'll get when talking to, say, enterprise support, when you are running into problems with needing to implement some of this stuff for your clients, not that I speak from experience or anything, is that these things were depreciated in favor of iCloud, that they see a future where the whole idea of a client server does not exist, right? Where it is client cloud, right? And you have iCloud. And that's the way that the world is going, according to Apple. Which is all fine and good, except for the world ain't there yet, and they will readily admit, no, it's not there yet. But it's coming. It'll come one day. We can't really talk on the record about that, and we can't, you know, obviously, this is as much speculation for us as it is for you, but let's just say that we reason to guess that that's the direction we're going. And that maybe you should just hold off on whatever it is you're doing until we get there. And it's like, no, I need this today. Well, we're sorry, we can't do anything for you. But don't worry, iCloud's coming. It's going to be there, and when it is, you're going to be happy with it. Don't disagree with it. I mean, I don't disagree with the strategy.
Yeah.
Apple has never had any problem killing its one baby in order to feed another, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to like it, but at least I understand it. I can't even really say that with Microsoft and what they've done here. It doesn't make any sense to me from any standpoint, like it or not. So that's the Microsoft post, and I hope people take the time to go check it out if you haven't. And I really appreciate the kind feedback that I've gotten thus far. It was by far the most successful post on Minimal Mac ever until the next post I wrote.
It really was the most read post of all time.
Yes, until the next one I wrote. Now it's number two.
I'm bring that up, because I need to try and understand. I mean, I love both posts, but I need to try and understand how the next one was bigger. So I want to know what sort of traffic resources you had for that one.
Well, I don't want to get into specific numbers.
No.
Yeah, but I will give you a general, just kind of a general overview, and that is that so far to that Microsoft post, I can say for certain that it has gotten 3,000% more traffic than any other post on my site.
The Microsoft one?
The Microsoft one.
But the one that we're going to talk about next got more?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Well, and the Microsoft post was picked up, was not only fireballed twice, once directly and once kind of sideways as part of
Gruber. Another post.
Gruber talking about something else and then linking to it in that discussion. But also picked up by Slashdot and Hacker News front page for, you know, at least a day. And so, that perfect storm all within 24 hours. I have to give credit where credit is due, and Tumblr stayed up and running and loading fast like a champ.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Very happy with Tumblr's performance in that particular area.
Just before we wrap this episode up, we've spoken a lot more about tech industry stuff than I think that we usually do in this episode.
Yes.
I'm sure you'd agree. I mean, we do talk tech, but we don't really talk about the industry so much.
No.
There is a new show on the 70 Decibels Network, which is...
I've heard of this.
...is solely featured around this sort of discussion. So,
yeah.
It's myself and Stephen Hackett, just the two of us, and it's called the 512 Podcast. And so it's an extension of Stephen's site, 512 Pixels. Basically, every week we sit down and we discuss what's going on in the world of technology. And all of our shows talk about tech, but this one is going to be, you know, imagine this kind of style of show, just two people talking, but we'll be focusing more on the industry. We won't be reporting news headlines like we do on the Bro Show. So imagine sort of a mix between this show or Cooking with Brett and Mike and the Bro Show. And that. So it's that sort of those sort of topics, but discussed in a more essay-y type of way, which is the kind of way I look at it. It's like this show is like we have an essay question and then discuss it. So there you go. I implore you to listen to it. And the man with the southern accent who we were talking about so fondly at the start of the show, it's him. So there you go. If you like southern accents and British accents in the same place, then the 512 podcast is your back.
Yeah, well, yeah, and here's just another reminder, folks. You got to be checking out all the stuff on 70 Decibels. I mean, there's just tons of great stuff there. I mean, what you're building out is just, I think, nothing short of incredible.
Thank you.
And certainly gives the other networks, podcast networks whose names will go unmentioned, a serious run for their money, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I'm hot on their tails. I'm coming after them all.
There you go. There you go, my friend. All right. Well, as usual, we'll talk later.
We will.
The whole other post.
The other post.
The other post.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers.